Well, hi there. Here we are again. This is session 32 in volume 7. And the subject this time is you will have increase. Proverbs 22 verses 1 through 9 will be our basic scriptures for this time together. I'm reading from the NIV. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not turn from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time together, we pray that ears will hear your message, that we will deliver your message in such a way that it can be understood, that rhema word will jump and come alive in the ears of the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. You will have increase. You know, the one thing which seems to always come up in people's conversation is a desire to increase the good in their lives. This desire is often manifested in the form of complaining about the bad in the speaker's life. There are certainly many circumstances about which people find a need to complain. Family, health, weather, jobs, money, sense of fulfillment, all these can motivate a feeling of discord in a person's life. How many times have you thought, oh, if I had just been born into a different family, or if I just had better health, or, oh, the weather's been so hot, been so cold, been so wet, whatever. It's been, you know. Oh, my job, I don't like my job, I wish I had a different job, don't like the people I work with. How many times have these kind of thoughts either passed through your mind or passed through your ears from other people? Oh, I owe so much. Oh, it's so expensive to live. Oh, there are so many things happening. Oh, if I only had more money. And then some people, they just seem to have no fulfillment in their life. They just feel like they don't matter. And sometimes they won't voice that. Actually, that sometimes comes out as complaining about family, health, weather, jobs, money. But the real reason is they just don't feel valuable. They don't feel worthwhile. Now, if when I went through all of those various things that people sometimes have to say, if you said, that's for sure, then you are probably someone who sees or creates a problem in much of your life. Now, just wait a minute, you say. Not me. It's just the way life is. Oh, really? Is that right? Perhaps, just perhaps, the expectation is the problem. What do you expect out of life? Do you expect problems? When the expectation is for the problems and decrease, in other words, well, I'll never have enough, or I'll never be able to do enough, or things will just never work out for me. And when the expectation is for problems and decrease, that tends to be what comes into your life, my life. Whatever we expect tends to be exactly what we get. You know, I remember one time hearing somebody talk about someone, and I noticed that this was the sort of person that however things turned out, they just knew they'd turn out that way. You know, if somebody that they had criticized for stepping out and doing something actually succeeded, suddenly this person, instead of saying they would always fail, said, oh, I always knew they'd succeed. Or if the person failed and that maybe, you know, they thought, well, I thought they'd fail, and they failed, well, I always knew it. It's just however it turns out is how they always knew it was going to be. Expectation's a very interesting thing. You see, when the problem is voiced as fact, we have given the problem permission to occur. Not to mention ownership. You see, we're actually showing ownership of a problem when we claim that problem. We're helping to speak it into existence. You see, being made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, gives us the ability to call things into existence. Therefore, we need to create peace with our words. You know, the word peace in Scripture, when you search it right down to its root, means nothing missing, nothing broken. Well, that would take care of a lot of family situations, health situations, job situations, money situations, wouldn't it? Nothing missing, nothing broken. We need to create peace. Oh, it's easy to understand why people expect to have difficulty and problems. Even believers in everyday life tend to forget that the evil that is needs not to be voiced. But things that are not, in other words, if you're seeing and getting what you don't like or don't want, don't voice what you're not getting. Don't voice the problem. Voice the solution. You see, talk about the thing that you desire. You see, God's told you that He'll give you the desires of your heart. But the things that are not, that we desire, are to be spoken. And we're told that very clearly in Romans 4:17. And so we speak it, and it will be brought into existence, with the problem being vanquished. How? By the power of Jesus the Christ. But that's what we have to do. It's very important. If you're not careful, you can find yourself standing around with all your co-workers, various family people, your friends or whatever, going through a whole litany of everything that's wrong in your life, their life, and the world. Well, you know, it does not take a genius to be able to see what's not working out. But as a believer, we are called to call things that are not as though they are. Now, notice earlier on I talked about expectation. Notice I didn't say anything about, what about those people who expect, you know, how many people have you said, I am just so fortunate, I have the most wonderful family, my health is really great, you know, we get enough rain, sometimes it's a little cold, but I like the cold weather, I like the seasons. How often do you hear people talk like that? Think about it. Oh, you know, my job may not be the best one in the world, but at least I have a job. How many times do you hear people talk like that? Oh, okay, I could use some more money. But I do what I can with the money I have, and I expect God to bless me more. How many times have you been in conversations around the water cooler, wherever, where you work, and sitting in a restaurant? How many times has a conversation taken that particular turn? I would say not nearly as often for most people as the one that just says how terrible things are. Or if they're not terrible, they're just sure they're going to get worse any minute. The expectation that somehow evil, lack, and problems are going to reign in the world and the plan that God has is sort of just set aside because, well, we're just being realistic. Think about that. Just being realistic. Then are you saying that being godly minded is not realistic? Are you saying that God is not real and what He says is not realistic? Well, to do that would really be calling God a liar. You see, we need to learn in our lives to go for the gold. going for the blessing in life seems to be a mystery to many people, mostly because they see themselves as victims of nearly every circumstance. Have you ever run into anyone like that? Have you ever felt that way? Like you were a victim of every single circumstance. You know, if the whole world would just shape up around you, you could have a good life, or that person could have a good life. Now think about that for a minute. How much sense does that really make? How is it that some people seem to have a blessed life and others don't? Have you ever wondered about that? How come these other people seem, everything seems to go right, everything goes along for them? Well, it may be that it doesn't. It may be they just don't speak the evil. It may mean that they don't. Have you ever known a Pollyanna type person that no matter what you say, they turn it to something positive? And everybody goes, oh, I just can't stand all that positive thinking, huh? Have you ever felt that way about somebody? Oh, give me a break. There they go again. Everything's going to turn out okay. Well, let me ask you something. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer that the satanic kingdom would rule and just come and steal, kill, and destroy? Or would you rather that God's kingdom were ruling and that there was nothing missing, nothing broken? So going for the blessing in life, as I said to many people, seems to be such a mystery. Now, we're told in Scripture to press into God, to press in. Philippians 3:14 clearly says to us we are to press in, moving toward the goal, moving toward the mark. When we press into Him on a regular basis, now notice I said a regular basis, we will not become weary and faint. How many times have you just felt like, I can't go anymore? How many times have you felt like you could just pass out of life? Just pass out where you are? Now, you know, I used the word faint there because the Scriptures talks about fainting not. Let me tell you what that word means in the Scripture. It doesn't mean the way we use the word faint, because when we think of faint, what do we think of? We think somebody passed out, right? They just collapsed into a little bundle right where they are, and people run up and help them. You know, you see these movies of the Victorian women, and they come up and they give them smelling salts and all this to revive them. That is not what faint means in the Scripture. Now, I want you to get a picture with me. Now, you're going down the road, and you're going, now, we've got some people who I think could probably identify with this. You're going down the road, the top's down on your convertible, and you got the pedal to the metal, you know? And you're going, man, look how fast this thing will go. Whee! I like that feeling in my hair. Oh, this is so good. That air is moving across me. Can you kind of get into that? Okay, but you remember now, you've got the pedal to the metal. And then you let up on that gas pedal. Just to slow down a little bit. That's what faint means in the Scripture. It doesn't mean you pass out. It means you just back off a little bit. That's fainting in the word used in the Scripture. Can you see how important it is if we're challenged in Scripture not to faint? It means don't back off. It doesn't mean don't pass out. It means don't back off. It goes with the Scripture I just said. Press in. Press in on a regular basis to God. Now, when we press in to Him on a regular basis, we will not become weary and faint. It just will not happen to us. We will have what? The joy of the Lord, which brings us strength. Nehemiah 10:8 says that, tells us that the joy of the Lord brings us strength. Strength for what? To endure and prevail. Do you understand that as believers, we're the endurers. We're the prevailers. We are the head and not the tail. We are the ones that God has empowered with the very Holy Spirit of God that Jesus sent to empower us to endure and prevail. Prevail. Be victors. So what brings increase? Because I said, you will have increase. Our Scripture in Proverbs 22, verse 4, gives us more than a clue. It lays it out for us. It says, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. So humility and fear of the Lord. Now, fear there is not a terror thing. It's a good, healthy respect. So humility and a good, healthy respect of the Lord bring what? Bring you wealth, bring you honor, and bring you life. Does that sound like something that you might enjoy? Wealth, honor, and life. Now notice it didn't say life, honor, and wealth. It didn't say life, wealth, and honor. It said wealth, honor, and life. So, let me ask you a question. If God doesn't want you to have financial means, oh, I know someone's going to say, oh, but you can be wealthy in health. Of course you can. But the scriptures repeatedly say that God wants you to have all of your financial needs met. And that you will be honored. And that you will have life. Another place in the scripture it says you will have life and have life abundantly. What do you think abundantly means? It means you are healthy, you are wealthy, you have wisdom, you have understanding, you have honor. Now think about that. It's so important, my friends, because if you don't think about this, you'll find yourself thinking about your lousy family, your lousy health, the lousy weather, your lousy job, your lousy checking account, and have no sense of fulfillment. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the scripture tells us, the mouth speaks. I'm telling you, many times you can be around somebody for 5 to 10 minutes and you can pretty well locate where they are in their thinking and why they're facing a number of the problems that they're facing in life. So what brings this increase? Well, we've learned humility and fear of the Lord. Now, what do we mean by this? Remember, fear there means a good, healthy respect. Humility is often a very misunderstood matter. The first component in spiritual humility, which is where humility is, let me tell you, it's a spiritual thing. The first component is to realize we are not our own God. You say, oh, well, how stupid do you think I am? I know I'm not my own God. Do you? Do you really? You may think this is so obvious that you discount this idea entirely out of hand. It's like, oh, not me. Well, let's look at this for a moment. When is God thought of or consulted in the matters of life for you? By many, it's only when a problem is so big they do not feel it can be handled without divine intervention. This is definitely the mistake. My friends, this is a great mistake that many, many people, if not most people, that I have encountered over the years have made. The urgent, now listen to me here very carefully, the urgent usually only becomes urgent after important things have been ignored or put off in our lives. Let me say that again. The urgent usually only becomes urgent after important things have been ignored or put off in our life. May I suggest regular fellowship with God, His Word, and seasoned mentoring by believers is a very important, is so very important, as it demonstrates humility by allowing guidance, Remember what I said, rather than consulting God last after everything you've tried to do is blown up in your face. By allowing guidance from God, from the Word, and from seasoned Christians who are mature. You see, in the important things before negative things become urgent. How easy is it? You know, we have these little rhymes that we all heard as children, a stitch in time saves nine. What's that saying? It's saying take care of the important and there's never an urgent problem. But take care of the important. And then the urgent may not happen. Now, I'm not saying there won't be urgent things. You're going down the road and somebody swings or soars over to your lane. That's urgent. It's not because you didn't take care of the important things, or maybe it might be. If you have no brakes, the problem is greater, isn't it? Because you didn't take care of the important thing in order to prevent an urgent problem. So many, many times, many things we face is because, in point of fact, we have been our own gods. We don't realize we're our own God, but we only consult with God. We only find a need for God when we've got a major problem. Outside of that, it's sort of like, okay, God, we got that and taken care of. Thank you so much. Oh, God, I worship you and I appreciate that you took care of this for me. Now just leave me alone until I call on you again. Do you realize how many people operate that way? People who claim to be Christian. People who are believers, they still operate that. Why? Operate that way. Why? Because they never accepted the lordship of Jesus Christ. So they don't consider it worth consulting him until the problem is just so big and becomes so urgent that they have to do something. And then it's like, oh God, I know that you're full of grace, and I know that it says that grace abounds where there's sin, and boy, I've really blown it, so now God, let grace abound. Well, he will. But I will tell you, my friends, you can be such a blessing to others. You can find yourself healthy. You can find yourself with every need met and more than enough. You know, Jesus said it was more blessed to give than receive. Do you know what that means? That means you have to have excess so you can do what? You can give. So you can give. Now, let me tell you this. You will, remember now, this is the title of this message, you will have increase. Now, that's what I told you, wasn't it, when I started. You will have increase. Our scripture shows us there is both blessing and cursing which results from our behaviors. If you read there, it talks about the people who don't do things God's way, what happens to them. So there's both blessing and cursing which results from whose behavior? Our behaviors. Each of us will have increase and the harvest of our increase. What am I saying there? I don't know if you've ever thought of this or not, but how you maintain your spiritual life in relationship to God tells us what kind of increase you're going to have in your life. You see, you can have increase in discord in your family, problems with your money, your health, all of those problems can increase. You can speak the increase in the negative. You can actually place a curse on yourself. Do you know that what a curse is? It's an empowerment to fail. Do you know what a blessing is? A blessing is empowerment to succeed. It's an empowerment for you. So the seeds we have planted will bring either good or evil into our lives. And we plant the seeds. I remember years ago I heard Billy Graham say that people leave church on Sunday and go out and sow their wild oats all week and then come back the next weekend praying for a crop failure. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, I'm just going to do it my way, and then realize that what you had planted was coming up? People say, oh, well, you know, these prosperity people preach, you know, this seed time and harvest is planting, and then your seeds come up. Well, don't they? You see, in everything you do, you're planting some kind of a seed, and that seed will come up. So it's up to us, through the scripture, to find out what's a good seed and what's not a good seed, and I would suppose that we would want to plant good seed. Our scripture tells us we would reap what we sow in verse 8. We choose our increase by our words. We choose our increase by our words and our behaviors for good or for ill. We choose that. Absolutely. Now, there is assurance of increase right there. But a generous man, we're told, in verse 9, a generous man will be blessed. In other words, will be empowered to succeed. We live in the kingdom of the blessing, you see. So a generous man will be blessed or empowered to succeed. The scriptures tell us that. Jesus told us We were better than the birds of the field, and our Heavenly Father would meet our needs. Those are the words in red. Jesus told us that. Believers live in the kingdom of the blessing. In other words, we live in the kingdom of empowerment to prosper and to succeed. That's the kingdom that believers live in. But if we're always saying, I knew that I wasn't going to have enough money for this, I knew something would happen to my health, I knew that their job would go sour. You see, if we're speaking those things, we're creating those things because we're made in the image of God. That's where I started with this message. So we must learn to speak that which we want because we are creative. Our words are seeds, our behaviors are seeds, and we will reap what we sow. And blessing, when you're in the kingdom of the blessing, it's good to stay close to the king. Blessing means empowered to prosper. Take God at his word. Humble yourself. Take yourself off the throne of your life. Humble yourself to his care. And when you do, when he is not only Savior but Lord, you will be fully in the kingdom of the blessing. And my friend, you will be empowered to prosper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that shows us how to prosper, that shows us how to be blessed. Give us the wisdom and the understanding to receive your blessings. Give us a desire to be closer and closer to you, so that we can understand how to live in the blessing, but not only how to receive the blessing, but how to bless others. How to bless you by doing your will and your way, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Father, we praise you and we worship you and we thank you. We thank you so much. Now, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do it right now. You can step into the kingdom of the blessing. Say these words after me. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry where I've missed the mark. I'm sorry for my sins. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into me now. Send your Holy Spirit into me. And I will serve you and live in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're now a believer. You're now a Christian. And you now live in the kingdom of the blessing. But knowing how to live in that kingdom will take a little guidance. That guidance will come from the Word. It will come from the Holy Spirit. And it will come from connecting yourself with someone who is a mature believer who understands the kingdom and how it works so that they can help you learn how to live and function in the kingdom. If you moved to a country that you'd never been to, wouldn't it be handy to have somebody there who could tell you about the rules and the laws and the way that that country worked? Well, the same is true when you accept Christ. You need help in understanding. So you might get a book and read some of the laws or whatever in that country. You might call upon some people who you could have some confidence in, who could help you along. That's what I'm saying. Humble yourself and put yourself in a position in the kingdom of the blessing to learn to receive the blessing. And once having received it, learn, my friend, how to pass it on, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Nothing wrong with receiving, but there's something wrong with receiving and never giving out. Pass along the blessing. I hope this message has encouraged you. I hope it's made you think a little bit. I hope that you found something here that will affect your life. Because, my friend, you will have increase. And so this is a sojourner saying, so long for now, and the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours. All that is yours. All that is yours. all that is yours by assignment, by adoption, or just for the blessing of God. So long for now.